From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Farmers Market every Saturday morning from 7:30 to 11:30 at 824 New Hampshire in downtown Lawrence, April through November, rain or shine. More information available at lawrencefarmersmarket.org.
78 degrees in Topeka, 80 here in Lawrence. It is 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 91.3 FM in Junction City. We are online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We are in the midst of our fall fun drive. Quick reminder, you can still become a member right now online at kansaspublicradio.org. We make it really obvious where to point and click. Because you value the journalism that you hear on KPR, along with the music and many, many other kinds of programming. However, right now we're doing news. Regional headlines coming your way in just about 11 minutes. We are going to learn more about a brand new cookbook here in the next 10 minutes. We'll also find out more about the results of a new NPR poll on the looming federal shutdown. We will tell you about how some rabbis are approaching what they're going to say on Yom Kippur. And the administration's approach to drug cartels relies at least in part on a blueprint for military strikes mirroring those waged during the War on Terror. After the September 11, 2001 attacks, Ryan Lucas has that story. It's all coming up on KPR. Following all things considered this evening, music from the 1500s all the way to the almost 2000s. Music that will eclipse your mind, we are promised by Destiny. She is your host from 7 to 9 p.m. That is followed by Jazz in the Night. That's all on your KPR1 stations. If you're joining us on KPR2, stick around for Reveal. It's 80 degrees in Lawrence, and the time is 6:20.
Support for NPR.
To stop a shutdown. Find out tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
We'll certainly know something one way or the other. Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Your local host will be Jay Schaefer.
Support for KPR comes from Panda Pediatrics, providing pediatric primary care, mental health, dental, and a walk-in clinic for children from birth to age 21 at One Lawrence location. More information at pandapeds.com.
News headlines are coming up next. It's 80 degrees in Lawrence, 78 in Topeka, 80 in Emporia. It is 6:30.
ICE agents. The shooting happened as ramped-up immigration crackdowns have led to backlash against ICE agents and stirred fear in immigrant communities across the country. For NPR News, I'm Penelope Rivera in Dallas.
On Wall Street, investors seem to shrug off the prospect of a partial government shutdown at midnight. Lawmakers have failed to reach a stopgap funding deal in time. The fallout could pile up the longer the shutdown drags on. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. A Kansas judge has dismissed Republican Attorney General Kris Kobach's lawsuit that aimed to force the state to hand over private data to federal officials. Dylan Lyson reports.
Kobach filed the lawsuit against Democratic Governor Laura Kelly's administration for withholding personal information about Kansans who receive food assistance. He argued the Department for Children and Families was violating state and federal law. But state officials said turning over the information would violate recipient privacy. Judge Teresa Watson ruled that Kansas law does not require the state to grant the data request. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Dylan Lyson in Overland Park.
Well, this federal government shutdown is looming. Noah Taborda reports it could jeopardize critical safety net services in Kansas.
The first to feel an impact might be Kansas families who rely on federal assistance to put food on the table. Since the shutdown coincides with the start of the fiscal year, the food program supporting women and children would run out of funds if the shutdown lasts more than a week. Others who could feel immediate impact are federal workers and active duty military service members who would not be paid during the shutdown. Staff at national parks, like Brown v. Board of Education Historic Park in Topeka, may also go unpaid. During the last shutdown, Parks were accessible to the public, but many employees had to stay home. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Noah Taborda.
A rural Kansas school superintendent has resigned after public backlash over allegations that he sexually harassed and touched a student. Kaylin Moore has the details.
The resignation follows pressure mounting on Comanche County school officials to take action against Superintendent Ty Thurr. The Kansas Reflector reports that 100 people gathered at the rural school district's meeting earlier this month to criticize the school board's handling of the allegations. Students spoke out in the spring about the inappropriate contact, but Thurr was only placed on administrative leave in September after public outcry. Last week, 10 bullets were shot at a school board member's empty car. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Kaylin Moore in Liberal.
Mostly cloudy skies in the forecast for northeast and east central Kansas tonight. Lows in the lower 60s. Tomorrow mostly sunny with a high in the mid 80s. Lows around 60 tomorrow night. Highs in the upper 80s for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It is 6:30. This is KPR.
Support for NPR comes from this.
Hey, it's Layla Faldin. Whether it's a roadside stop in Missouri,
they have like signs and billboards. It says a very big halal, you know, so.
Or in a forest searching for brook trout.
It's just cool. Cool to see them persist and knowing they've been here for so long and they still find a way to make it.
Morning Edition from NPR News is always where the story is. Come along with us every weekday morning.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations from 5 to 9 a.m. You can get caught up on all the news from overnight, whether it's from around the world, around the nation, or around the region. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 96.1 FM in Lawrence. Visit our website, kansaspublicradio.org, for a complete list of all of our frequencies. And there are many, thanks to gifts from listeners just like you. You can even become a member right now online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Crystal Image Photography Studio, offering in-studio and on-location senior pictures, family portraits, professional headshots, and more. Serving Lawrence and surrounding areas since 2000. For information and portfolio at tcistudio.com.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight, lows in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid 80s.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Times, an online news publication with an emphasis on stories that affect residents of Lawrence, Douglas County, and Kansas. Information at lawrencekstimes.com.
You're joining us on KPR One Station's news headlines coming your way at 7:01, followed by 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. It's 10 minutes before 7.
It's all things
Daniel Day-Lewis. Two brothers wrestle with their past and the one secret that has kept them apart for decades. Anemone, rated R, in theaters Friday. From Easy Cater, designed to help organizations order food for meetings and events from a nationwide network of restaurants, create lunch programs for their employees, and manage food spend at easycater.com. From Workday, Workday is an AI platform for forward thinkers, dedicated to transforming the way business leaders manage people, money, and agents today so they can transform tomorrow. Workday, moving business forever forward. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station.
Government funding is set to expire at midnight. Will congressional leaders reach an 11th-hour deal to stop a government shutdown? Find out tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Tune in beginning at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. You will hear Morning Edition on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from Topeka Zoo, a Topeka destination for over 85 years, enriching the community through wildlife conservation and education. Open daily from 9 to 5. Calendar of events and ticket information is found at topekazoo.org.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, presenting Tina, the Tina Turner musical, an uplifting comeback story like no other, Tuesday, October 14th, 7:30 p.m. Tickets available at lead.ku.edu.
Stay tuned. We have classical music coming up in just a few moments following the news, and Stardate Destiny is your host. Speaking of Destiny, Live Day this year, special KPR event, showcases Destiny in her incarnation as Destiny Ann Mermegan in a free concert at the Lawrence Public Library Friday night, October 24th. Admission is free, but seating is limited and it is not reserved. Just RSVP at kansaspublicradio.org. Let us know you're going to be there. This is KPR. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. It's just 4 hours until a likely government shutdown after Congress failed to pass a pair of bills that would have kept federal agencies open past midnight tonight. The White House is blaming congressional Democrats for it, but as NPR's Tamara Keith reports, President Trump also says it may present an opportunity to lay off workers and cut programs.
White House staff put a video on loop in the press briefing room with old clips of congressional Democrats talking about what a bad idea government shutdowns are. President Trump said the last thing he'd want to do is shut it down.
But a lot of good can come down from shutdowns. We can get rid of a lot of things that we didn't want, and they'd be Democrat things, but they want open borders. They want men playing in women's sports. They want transgender for everybody. They never stop.
The White House has also threatened mass firings of federal workers. Democrats are pressing the White House and Republicans to negotiate with them on health care. Tamara Keith, NPR News, the White House.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth told a gathering of top generals and admirals that he's overhauling military standards and gender rules. As NPR's Tom Bowman explains, it could lead to a dramatic drop of women in combat.
What he said about toughening physical fitness standards for those in combat jobs, who are talking armor, artillery, infantry, and he said he wants men and women to achieve, quote, the highest male standard in such things as, you know, lifting weights, dragging a sled that stands in for a wounded comrade, carrying an ammo box, running. So in general, more weight, more pull-ups, faster times. There are some 600 female Marines in those jobs, roughly 3,000, 4,000 Army women in combat jobs. One Marine officer I spoke with, who's well-versed on fitness tests, estimate you could lose more than 20% of women in those jobs if they have to meet the highest male standard. The officer spoke on condition of anonymity because he's not authorized to speak publicly.
NPR's Tom Bowman reporting. President Trump says that the National Institutes of Health will invest in data sharing to boost the use of AI in detecting and treating pediatric cancers. NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports this comes amid massive cuts in federal funding for scientific and medical research.
The Trump administration says it's committing an additional $50 million to an NIH program to build on ways to apply AI to fighting cancer. Michael Kratsios directs the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy.
Using artificial intelligence, researchers will be able to, for example, build scalable models to predict how a child's body responds to therapies, letting doctors forecast cancer progression and minimize treatment side effects.
The $50 million investment comes on the heels of billions in federal cuts to various health agencies involved with cancer prevention and research. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News.
This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from 20th Century Studios with Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere, a pivotal chapter in the life of an icon. Starring Jeremy Allen White and Jeremy Strong, in theaters October 24th. Tickets available now. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate September 30th. The star Fomalhaut is a bit of a disappointment. Almost two decades ago, astronomers announced the discovery of a giant planet orbiting the star, the first exoplanet actually seen at visible wavelengths of light. Almost from the beginning, though, other astronomers questioned the discovery. And they were right. It wasn't a planet at all, but a big clump of dust, the aftermath of a giant collision. Fomalhaut is about twice as big and heavy as the Sun, and quite a bit brighter. It's encircled by wide bands of dust. Most of the dust is at least 100 times the distance from Earth to the Sun. Fomalhaut is only about one-tenth the age of the Sun. Even so, it's old enough that it should have blown away most of the dust. The fact that the belts are so prominent, especially the outer belt, means that they're being renewed. The most likely source is collisions between large comets or asteroids. As those bodies are destroyed, they spew dust out into space. One estimate says it would take the destruction of 2,000 comets that are 1 kilometer in diameter every day to keep the belts going. The would-be planet was the result of a collision between two even larger objects, briefly creating the illusion of a giant planet around this bright star. Fomalhaut is low in the southeast at nightfall and climbs across the south later on. We have more skywatching tips and much more about the universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Support for Stardate on KPR comes from Kaiser Cummings Jewelers. More than 35 years of custom-designed, handcrafted jewelry in downtown Lawrence. Collection online at kaisercummings.com. Washington Saxophone Quartet here on KPR rocking out on some pre-Baroque music by John Bull, his Galliard. Hi there. I am Destiny. I hope you are doing really well this Tuesday evening. Thank you so much for being here with me. I thought I would play for us some early music this hour. So I've got a very early Mozart symphony coming up at around 7:15. But I must ask you, when is the last time you heard the recorder? Not the one that the kids in kindergarten class, well, actually, yes, that one, but not the version that the ones in kindergarten class play. This one is much more refined by Dan Lorin, recorder, a Swedish musician with the Von Wassenaar Orchestra. It's a little concerto. It's about 5 minutes long. I hope you like it on KPR.
Thank you. A recorder concerto by Bachton, number 5 here on KPR. Dan Loren on recorder with the Von Wassenaar Orchestra. An hour of early music, which means a Haydn string quartet is coming your way in about 15 minutes. Indeed it is. By the way, if you've been listening last week and this week, you know that we are in our annual fall fundraiser membership drive. And boy, do we need all the help we can get, because now 94% of our budget comes from you. That is a huge amount. So we truly rely on you for your help. And we would love it if you would consider becoming a sponsor or a donor. Just go to kansaspublicradio.org. You can be like Debbie and Howard. Support for music programming on KPR comes from Debbie Lane and Howard Welch of Shawnee, Kansas. Yay! Thank you, Debbie and Howard, for keeping music on the air for all of us and all KPR listeners. We so appreciate all the help any of you can give us. Mozart Symphony No. 12, a very early symphony. I have a recording here of Sir Charles McCarris conducting the Prague Orchestra. It is about 15 minutes, and I hope you really enjoy listening to it on KPR. that's a nice one that I can just dance to here on KPR, Mozart's Symphony No. 12, Sir Charles Mackerras and the Prague Chamber Orchestra. Ah, I hope you all are having a lovely Tuesday evening. Thankfully, we have another hour of classical music coming up after this delightful Haydn quartet. I would like to do a shout out to the animals out there. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Prairie Paws Animal Shelter, serving Ottawa, Manhattan, and Emporia. Prairie Paws provides compassionate care for animals in need, and donations help give pets a second chance. More info is available at prairiepaws.org. I love, love animals. I especially love cats, and you know, Wyatt has been quiet. That rhymed. Ugh, I'm so lame. He's been really quiet lately. I do broadcast from the home studio sometimes, and he makes an appearance, but it's been suspiciously quiet. Well, maybe this Haydn String Quartet will bring him out. This is Opus 24 in the sunshiny key of D major. It's with the Lindsay Quartet, and it's right now on KPR. Every time I hear the ending to this quartet, I really wonder if it's over. It is over here on KPR, Haydn String Quartet, Opus 24, in a very sunshiny key, as I call it, D major. That's because it just rings really well for string instruments like the violin. I know this, you see, because I play the violin. I'm much better at playing the radio, though. It's far easier, too. Don't go anywhere. I've got some romantic music for you next hour. I'll be right back here on Kansas Public Radio, NPR News up next.
Hey, it's Layla Faldin. Whether it's a roadside stop in Missouri,
they have like signs and billboards. It says a very big halal, you know, so.
Or in a forest searching for brook trout.
It's just cool. Cool to see them persist and knowing they've been here for so long and they still find a way to make it.
Morning Edition from NPR News is always where the story is. Come along with us every weekday morning.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. This is Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for news on KPR comes from the Kansas City Monarchs, presenting the return of the KC Blues and Jazz Festival, October 3rd and 4th at Legends Field, featuring Stanley Clark and more. Event details at monarchsbaseball.com. Do you own a business and value the programs on KPR? I know you do. Your fellow KPR listeners could be your best customers. Support KPR. Reach your fellow public radio fans and become a corporate sponsor. We need your help now more than ever. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The federal government is careening towards a shutdown in 3 hours after Congress failed to negotiate a deal. As NPR's Barbara Sprunt reports, the Senate took up two competing measures to fund the government temporarily, and both failed.
At 12:01 a.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday, the government will officially be shut down. Essential services will continue, but hundreds of thousands of federal workers will be furloughed without pay. A memo from the White House's budget arm suggests that agencies could be laying off workers as well. This comes after congressional leaders met with President Trump Monday in the Oval Office to try to negotiate a deal. No compromise was reached. Republicans needed some Senate Democrats to vote alongside them to temporarily fund the government, but Democrats insisted a stopgap deal also had to extend health care subsidies, which expire at the end of the year. Barbara Sprunt, NPR News, The Capitol.
A federal judge in Boston has ruled that the Trump administration is violating the First Amendment by targeting pro-Palestinian protesters for deportation. As NPR's Adrian Florido reports, it's one of the major free speech cases of Trump's second term.
Judge William Young wrote that officials in the Departments of State and Homeland Security have been misusing the powers of their offices to target non-citizen pro-Palestinians for deportation because of their protected political speech. The lawsuit was brought by academics who argued during a 9-day trial this summer that the Trump administration's policy to try to deport students like Mahmoud Khalil, Rumeysa Ozturk, and others was meant to silence criticism of Israel. In his ruling, Judge Young wrote that non-citizens legally in the U.S. enjoy the same free speech rights as citizens. He said he'll soon hold a hearing to decide how to try to force the government to stop violating those rights. Adrian Florido, NPR News.
A Mexican man who was among three people shot at a Dallas immigration field office last week has died. He's the second person killed in the attack. The family of 32-year-old Miguel Angel Garcia Hernandez says he died after being removed from life support. The Trump administration is launching a website for prescription drugs called TrumpRx. The site would facilitate sales directly to consumers at a discount. NPR's Sidney Lupkin has more.
President Trump announced a deal with Pfizer to sell its drugs directly to consumers. The medicines will be available through a website operated by the federal government called TrumpRx.
The United States is done subsidizing the health care of the rest of the world. It's a big thing. This is, I can't tell you how big this is.
The announcement came as part of the president's push to get lower drug prices for Americans. He aims to bring them in line with what other developed countries pay. The deal also includes discounts for Medicaid and a pledge from Pfizer to sell new drugs at the same price in the U.S. and other developed countries. Trump says similar deals with other drug makers are in the works. Sidney Lupkin, NPR News.
Stocks closed up slightly today. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, dedicated to improving the learning experience for America's students by sharing what works in pre-K through 12 education at edutopia.org. This is Kansas Public Radio. Richard Oppelt on the double bass here on KPR. What a way to open a program. The Dragonetti Waltz, number 8. Who said double basses didn't know how to waltz? Well, this bass player certainly did, didn't he? Very fun. I hope you are doing well. Last hour, I had a lot of early music, and we are going to go all the way to 1999 in about 10 minutes. Something very interesting this hour that hasn't been played on KPR in a long time. I hope you are all doing really well. I am Destiny. I play the violin and I play the radio. You can hear me play the violin live, by the way, Friday night, October 24th. A spooky concert. It's free. Lawrence Public Library, 7 p.m. Please, please join us. Just RSVP because, well, there's going to be a lot of people and we want to make sure you get your seat. All right, there was my shameless plug to meet you, my dearest listeners. And now, some not-so-shameless music by Franz Liszt. It's Hungarian Rhapsody number 12 with Yvonne Fischer and the Budapest Festival Orchestra. Right now, on KPR. Thank you. Dramatique indeed here on Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.9 Atchison. Ooh, Franz Liszt, Hungarian Rhapsody, number 12, with Yvonne Fischer conducting the Budapest Festival Orchestra. Wow, we've come a long way from pre-Baroque, haven't we? Well, we're going to go even farther. Yes, we are. We are about to listen to John Taverner's Total Eclipse from 1999, and this... Ooh, it's really interesting. There's actually quite a lot of information to tell you about it, but I don't really have enough time. So you could Google it while you're listening. But what I will tell you is the composer says it focuses around the theme of conversion, especially of Saul to Paul. A lot about metaphysical connections and heavenly realm type things and harmonies. And there's a mindless crowd. It's just, ooh, it's a lot. So... I could probably spend the next 10 minutes telling you about it, but I could also let the music speak for itself. So let's listen right now to Taverner's Total Eclipse with Academy of Ancient Music and Paul Goodwin and the Oxford New College Choir on KPR. Okay, count that among one of the many unique things I've played for you here on Kansas Public Radio, Taverner's Total Eclipse from 1999. I'm Destiny. Thanks for being here with me. I hope you all have a great rest of your evening. NPR News is up next, and then Jazz in the Night, and I'm back with more classical music tomorrow on KPR.
Hey, it's A. Martinez. We've all been there. You get a phone call or knock on your door too early in the morning before you're fully awake. Who and why, you wonder, at this hour? For something you want to hear first thing, tune into Morning Edition. We'll get you up to date on the day's biggest headlines and bring you unexpected stories that make you smile. Listen whenever you're ready, weekday mornings from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Merck Co-op, providing locally sourced food and products each and every day. Open daily at 901 Iowa in Lawrence and 501 Minnesota in KCK. And Eastside European, an owner-operated repair shop specializing in BMW and Mini at 9th and Delaware in East Lawrence. Servicing other select European vehicles as well. More at eastside-european.com. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. And support for classical music on KPR comes from Blue Collar Press. Blue Collar Press has been helping businesses, musicians, and artists, big and small, turn ideas into promotional merchandise for 20 years. For more info, visit bluecollarpress.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The federal government is officially shutting down in 2 hours after lawmakers on Capitol Hill failed to reach an agreement on a spending bill. As NPR's Elena Moore reports, funding negotiations have been bitterly divided.
Republicans in the House of Representatives narrowly passed their spending bill earlier this month. So it came down to the Senate, with GOP lawmakers needing at least 60 votes to get the measure through. It ultimately failed by a vote of 55 to 45, with not enough support from Democrats, who have been pushing for Republicans to negotiate on several health care provisions, including an extension for health care subsidies set to expire at the end of the year. So far, GOP leaders have refused to negotiate those changes in this spending bill and instead want to postpone those talks until after a stopgap bill is passed. Elena Moore, NPR News.
A federal judge has disqualified a Trump-appointed federal prosecutor in Nevada, saying she is not validly serving as acting U.S. attorney for the state. Federal public defenders challenged Sigal Chadha's appointment, arguing that her term expired in July after she was temporarily appointed by President Trump and never confirmed by the Senate. A federal judge has ruled the Trump administration illegally targeted non-U.S. citizens for deportation solely for supporting Palestinians and criticizing Israel. The ruling sharply criticized Trump and his policies as serious threats to free speech. U.S. District Judge William Young ruled in favor of several university associations that Trump's policies violated the First Amendment, as well as the Administrative Procedure Act. That's a law governing how federal agencies develop and issue regulations. President Trump announced a 20-point plan to end Israel's war in Gaza and free Israeli hostages held by Hamas. The plan also states Israel will not occupy Gaza and that Palestinians will not be forcibly displaced outside the territory, but it doesn't lay out a clear role for Palestinian governance. NPR's Anas Baba reports from Gaza.
There were no celebrations here after Trump announced his plan for ending Israel's war that's killed tens of thousands of Palestinians. Abu Adham Arafati is among many Palestinians recently displaced from Gaza City due to Israeli bombardment. He says Trump's proposal only makes demands of the Palestinians and serves Israel's interests. Other NPR spoke to in Gaza echoed that sentiment. Arafati say no external powers should rule over the Palestinians, but that Hamas should have no rule in governance after its deadly attack on Israel 2 years ago. Hamas has yet to agree to the plan. Regional powers including Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and others said they stand ready to work toward finalizing the agreement. Dennis Baba, Gaza City.
The S&P 500 edged up 27 points, or 0.4 of a percentage point today, ending its fifth straight month of increases. This is NPR from Washington. The UN is sending more troops to try and stop gang violence in Haiti. The new 5,600-member force will have the power to detain suspected gang members, which the current peacekeeping effort does not have. Gangs in Haiti have grown in power since the assassination of the president in 2021. They now control 90% of the capital, Port-au-Prince. Sales of electric vehicles are expected to set a new record this quarter after buyers race to lock down a federal tax credit before it expires. That credit's worth up to $7,500, but as NPR's Camilla Domonofsky reports, the credit is only available on contracts signed by midnight tonight.
EV sales have been booming lately, contributing to strong auto sales overall. But there's a hangover coming. A buyer who hurried to buy an EV in September is a sale that won't happen in October or November. Matt Jones is with the auto sales site TrueCar.
You may not have necessarily grown more business. You just condense the time frame in which it happens.
Jones is a fan of gas-powered cars, but he says he can't deny that EVs are nice to drive. He thinks they will still appeal to drivers, even without a tax credit. But it'll take time for sales to stabilize after the spike and slump triggered by a deadline. Camila Domonofsky, NPR News.
Police in Northern California pulled over a Waymo self-driving taxi after it made an illegal U-turn. The San Bruno Police Department says officers were conducting a DUI operation when they stopped the vehicle, but didn't give it a ticket because, as they put it, citation books don't have a box for robot. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Imaginable Futures, envisioning a future where learning sparks opportunity and thriving belongs to everyone. Learn more at imaginablefutures.com. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
That is young pianist Kaylin Cardello playing a tune by the late, great pianist Harold Mayburn called John Neely. And opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio, Kaylin's debut album out recently called Chapter One with Domo Branch, the drummer, Jonathan Muir Cotton on bass. And we heard one of the three of the 11 tunes on the album with tenor sax added by Chris Lewis. I'm Bob McWilliams. Welcome to Jazz in the Night on KPR. We've got trumpeter Will Cavanis up next on the way, the pianist and singer Champion Fulton. Music from Brazil from our album of the week on KPR's Jazz in the Night from Antonio Adolfo. And from the vinyl vault a little bit later, Alto Madness Man himself, Richie Cole. Right now, trumpeter Will Cavanis, the album called A Walk, and he and the Sextet's version and Will's arrangement of My Shining Hour on KPR. The music of Harold Arlen and a favorite among jazz musicians for jamming, My Shining Hour. Here on KPR, the album recorded 2014 called A Walk, with trumpeter Will Cavanis' sextet, Benjamin Drazen playing alto sax, and Sam Dillon on tenor, Jeb Patton at the piano, bassist Will Slater, drummer Pete Van Nostrand on KPR's Jazz in the Night, with music from Brazilian pianist and arranger and composer, although in this case, not the composer of the music on his new album, but we'll hear from Antonio Adolfo. And coming up a little bit later, just out, a live session from organist Mike LeDun's Groover Quartet. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, offering downloadable ebooks, audiobooks, streaming movies, and